Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
When tragedy takes a spouse or child from us, we go through times of grief, sorrow, facing the inevitable rebuilding of our lives. Making sense of the prayers we prayed that were not answered is an ongoing challenge as we pick up the pieces. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer, today you conclude your series on the triumph of unanswered prayer. Your focus will be on managing disappointment when prayers don't seem to work.
Dave, it is very common to be disappointed with God. I've been there, you've been there, and all of us need to recognize the fact that God oftentimes does not do what we think he should. How relevant is this question? Well, it's as relevant as this morning. This morning I received an email from someone who is struggling with unanswered prayer, specifically the issues regarding Job, why it is that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane didn't even get his request answered, struggling, wondering, how do you rebuild your faith after disappointment with God? Well, that's why I wrote a book entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? I wrote that book because it's a question that has been on our hearts for many, many years and many, many times. Now, for a gift of any amount, we're making it available, and I want to emphasize that this is the last week that this resource can be yours through our ministry, so I'm going to be giving you some contact info very quickly. You can go to rtwoffer.com or call us at 1-888-218-9337. Now, I'm going to be giving you that contact info again after this message. Listen carefully, and I believe that you'll be blessed as you begin to understand just a little bit better what God is up to. Do you remember when Jesus said to Peter, this is in John 21, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, when you're old, somebody's going to stretch you and take you where you don't want to go, and they're going to stretch you out. And then John says, this he indicated by the death he was to die. And Peter ended up being crucified. Tradition says he wanted to be crucified upside down because he didn't think he was worthy to be crucified like Christ. And then Peter says, but Peter, when Jesus told him that, says, well, what about this guy? What about John? And Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And when you're tempted to envy others because of jealousy, remember it's the sovereignty of God who puts people in certain positions, and your responsibility is to be faithful and content where you are, serving the Lord with all your heart. Now let me give you six different, I want to say something stronger than suggestions, six different admonitions, I know that's a big word, of how to cope when your prayers aren't answered and how to endure. Are you ready to write? Number one, obviously, continue to pray, and especially pray for wisdom. I can't tell you how often I have claimed James chapter 1, verse 6. If any of you lack wisdom, and by the way, do you know what James says in the opening of his book? He says, if any of you fall into various trials, rejoice. Boy, that's hard to do. But James says, if you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives to all men liberally and doesn't withhold, but ask in faith and he'll give it to you. There have been times when I've been on the telephone and I've been asked something. And in my mind, I'm claiming that verse. I'm saying, Lord, I don't have the wisdom to know how to answer this. And God gives me the wisdom, and he'll do it for you too. So that's number one. Number two, you have to know that you are suffering according to the will of God. Now, you say, well, where is that in the text? I want you to see here, we're going to go back to chapter 10, at the end of chapter 10. It says in verse 16, "For you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God," and what's he talking about? Joyfully accepting the plundering of your property, things that we can't even get our minds around. So what you have to do is to know that if you know that that suffering has come to you from the hand of a sovereign God, that that cup is coming to you not from the circumstances around you, but rather from God, and say, "God, if you want me to pass through this, it'll give you strength." It says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, "Therefore it says, all those of you who suffer according to the will of God," write that reference down, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. "Those who suffer according to the will of God commit and entrust the keeping of their souls to him as unto a faithful creator." So if you and I, in our challenges, and we all have them, if we can say we're suffering according to the will of God, we're receiving this from his hand, and we're committing ourselves to him as a creator who has sovereignty, and we trust that sovereignty, it gives you a whole new perspective as you deal with your disappointment with unanswered prayer. And then third, you'll notice it also says here in the last part of chapter 10, "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which is great reward, for you have need of patience, you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." And then it says this, that we are not those who shrink back. But verse 35, "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward." And you have something waiting for you that is abiding. You know, we as Americans, though I think this happens all over the world, we undervalue eternity. In Middle Ages, we criticized those who killed people because they had wrong doctrine. And we certainly know that that was evil to do. But the motivation was this. In those days, when people were dying of the plague and they were dying young, the belief was that eternity is so much more important than time, that really it's eternity that really matters and not this temporal existence. So they were always thinking of eternity, namely, are souls going to be lost or are they going to be saved? And you and I have to understand, time is short, eternity is long. And if we could grasp that, we'd always be asking the question, how do I live for eternal values and not earthly values? This, of course, impacts our giving. It impacts the way in which we live is when we think about eternity. And the older some of us get, the more God is enabling us to think about eternity, because we know that it is on its way. And I cannot emphasize enough, young couples, I know you're struggling with your payments for the house, for the car, for the kids, but even in the midst of that, remember it's being faithful there because you have eternity in mind and you have a reward coming to you. That's number three. Number four, I've said this before in messages, but I'm going to say it again. You live by promises. You live by promises. You don't live by explanations. You know, this young woman who wrote to me and spilled out her heart says, "I don't feel the love of God." Well, sometimes we don't. But look at this. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation?" What about it? You're going through tribulation, distress, that's where some of us are at, persecution, famine. Have you ever thought of what it's like to watch your children starve to death? That's what's happening in parts of the world right now, the Middle East. possibly Ukraine, other countries, yeah. And you're watching your children starve. Does that separate you from the love of Christ? Does that mean God doesn't love you? No. What about nakedness? That means utter poverty, danger, sword, in other words, being massacred. No, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sometimes all that you have to do, the only thing you can do, is go on God's bare promise. You go on God's bare promise. You look around you and say, you know, I don't see a lot of reasons to believe that, but I'm going to trust God despite that. Reminding yourself that ultimately you're in his hands and his word is true, and this does not separate you from the love of Christ. And you don't always need evidence that God is loving you by everything going well. Now, number five, get beyond the requests and get to God. Get beyond requests and get to God. And you know how the best way to pray? We talked about prayer, you know, should you end, if it be thy will. Yes, many of our prayers, probably most of them, we should end that way. But would you remind yourself that there are many prayers that you have to start to pray, and this will transform your prayer life, that you have to start to pray that are totally scriptural, that you don't have to say at the end, if it be thy will. No. And I was going to read the prayer in Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, but I'm not going to for lack of time. You can read them on your own. Read the 13 or 14 prayers that the Apostle Paul prays for the churches. Read those prayers for yourself, for your family, and for your wayward children. Instead of, oh God, keep them healthy and well, you can pray that, certainly, and we all do. But how about this for a prayer for your son? Lord, I pray that his love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, so that he might approve things that are excellent and to be pure and blameless before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruit of righteousness, which by Jesus Christ is unto the glory and the praise of God. Now there's a prayer to pray, and you don't have to say, if it be thy will. And what we need to do is to lift our prayers. Whenever I lead a prayer meeting, everybody's praying for people who are sick. That's okay. But what we have to do is to say, God, we have to get beyond this. There are eternal realities that we need to be praying, that we need to be interceding for, and that changes your prayer life. I'll never forget when I heard a lecture on praying scripture. Transforming. Not just saying the same old thing in the same old way on the same old day. So what you're doing is you're saying, now, Lord, I'm getting beyond the physical need, and now I'm looking to the spiritual need. You know, in Ephesians, which we haven't taken time to read yet, Paul talks about the fact that the eyes of their heart may be enlightened, that they might know what is the hope of the calling and what is the inheritance of the saints. Paul never, or maybe once, but seldom, if ever, prays for physical healing. And there's nothing wrong to pray for physical healing. But Paul is always thinking, I know what this person really needs is a fresh vision of Jesus. What this person really needs is to understand the inheritance that has been given to us in Christ. And he's constantly getting beyond the things of this world, the empirical reality, and he is trying to focus us on God, on our inheritance, And we need to be able to pray that way. And then we begin to understand God's purposes, and we don't have to end by saying, Lord, if it be thy will. That's number five. Let me get to number six. It is this: increased blessedness with increased faith. There's increased blessedness by increased faith. And I didn't think I'd ever say this, but it's coming to mind. How better can God stretch our faith than to put us through a situation where it appears as if he's not on our side? In the midst of life, you may have doubts. And I want to tell you this, that if you are an honest doubter, that's okay. That's okay. Dishonest doubters, well, that's a different story. Dishonest doubters are people who have all the reasons why they don't want to believe, and they have all those lined up, and no matter what evidence you give them, they will find some way to circumvent it. But a dishonest doubter is perfectly fine. Jesus and God can handle it. Illustration. I think this is the 11th chapter of Matthew. But I could be wrong. I was going to look it up this morning and didn't. But don't worry about the text. You can find it, okay? John the Baptist is in prison. And eventually he's going to be beheaded. But he's there and he's saying just the very same thing that you and I say all the time. This doesn't add up. The Old Testament is full of all of these prophecies, how that when the Messiah comes, the Messiah is going to set the prisoners free. He is going to bring deliverance to Israel. All of those prophecies. And here I'm sitting in prison. There's just no way to add up. And so he sends a delegation to Jesus and says, and remember, this is John the Baptist, who's in the flesh a cousin to Jesus and the forerunner, and he baptized him. He says, you know, ask him, are you the one that we should look for, or should we look for another? You're just not doing what I expected you to do. And Jesus sent a delegation and said that, tell him that the dead are being raised and the poor are having the gospel preached to them. And then Jesus said these words that I never want you to forget. And if you're taking notes, write them down, because they're the words of Jesus. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. What Jesus is saying, if I might give it my own translation, is blessed is the person who is not upset with the way I run my business. Blessed is the person who say, I can't put it together. And of course, those promises, by the way, of the Old Testament, of course they're going to be fulfilled. But John had a wrong timeline. But anyway, blessed is the person who says, Lord, I don't understand, but I believe. They endure. And I say to you today, there's so much about God that is mysterious, but blessed is the person who is not upset with the way God runs his business. Now, what does Jesus say a few verses later to the disciples? He said, of those born of women, there's none greater than John the Baptist. Jesus didn't say, oh my goodness, after all this, he's still doubting whether or not I'm the Messiah. This guy isn't going to amount to much. No, among those born of women, none is greater. While John is sitting in prison having doubts. It's okay to have doubts as long as they're honest. I want to say to those of you who perhaps even now yet have not savingly believed on Jesus, because you've got all kinds of excuses, you may have all kinds of doubts, come to Jesus with your doubts. One of my favorite songs is, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. And one of the stanzas says this, just as I am, though tossed about, with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings within, and fears without. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. May God give us the endurance to be able to manage our disappointments, that we might be seen as people of faith, despite the fact that we've not seen everything happen that we think God should have done. Let's bow together in prayer. Father, we are so fickle. We're frail. We believe and then we don't believe. I ask today, Lord, that for those who have never savingly believed on Christ, may they come to Christ with their doubts, even now. And Father, for those who have given up on you because you haven't done what we thought you should, help them to say, Lord, thy will be done, and begin to pray prayers that get past the issues of life to issues of eternity and reality. I'm going to pause just a moment now before I say amen. If God has talked to you, you talk to God. Lord, help thy people, help me, help my family to keep believing despite the obstacles to faith. Grow us, Lord, because your word says it is not possible to please you without faith. So we want to thank you so much for the struggles of life that give us an opportunity to exercise faith. We love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. This past week, I heard about a man who is in prison. I won't tell you the country in which he has been imprisoned because he's a pastor preaching the gospel. But the point is, his son was there, and I happened to have the opportunity of meeting him. That is to say, his son was where I was preaching here in the United States. He told me that his father has lost 35 pounds since he was imprisoned some time ago. Well, you know, during those days, it's very difficult to believe. It's difficult to trust. Just ask the martyrs. But at the same time, we know that God is with us. And I've written a book entitled, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? I want to emphasize that God has in his own word an answer to that question. That doesn't mean we're going to understand everything that God is going to do, but it does mean this. We have good reason to go on believing, trusting, even when we don't understand. This is the last week we're making this resource available for you. I hope that you have a pen or pencil, because you can write this info down. Go to rtwofferer.com. Of course, rtwofferer is all one word, rtwofferer.com, or pick up the phone and call us at 1-888-218-9337. Once again, go to rtwofferer.com or call us at 1-888-218-9337. This book can be yours with a gift of any amount. Thank you so much for helping us as we continue to get the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Thanks for holding our hands as we run toward the finish line.
You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Today, Erwin Lutzer wrapped up a message on managing disappointment when prayers are not answered. For many, this topic is a major stumbling block. And so, next time on Running to Win, Pastor Lutzer will sit down with Pastor Larry McCarthy. They'll discuss Pastor's new book, Why Doesn't God Answer My Prayers? Plan to join us as this new book can be yours. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.